Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day you're listening to this. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. It's a little different today. We're going to say our prayer, and then we got a special announcement.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you yet again for the opportunity. And Father, just thank you for allowing us to be bold and allowing us to speak the truth. But Father, we ask that you just allow us to understand and to receive what it is you have for us, Father, and allow us not to lie, that we only be speaking the truth. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
Mike, want to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Well, it's an exciting day, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the first time we are ever having a guest in the midst.
Yes, sir.
In our midst. And he happens to be my dad. I'm not going to call him Mike. I can't. I mean, I'll describe him as Mike, but I can't call him anything but Dad. So, yeah.
I get away with calling you John, but that's, you know, that's father's privilege.
Yeah. You gave me the name.
That's father's privilege, yes. But
so it's going to be a little bit interesting. Not real sure how this one's going to play out. This could end up being one long two-parter. We're not real sure, but we're going to let it go like we always do. We want this conversation to be as organic as possible. And really, to start the conversation, to kind of let people know where we're headed, you're going to get to hear a bit about our story between myself and my dad. It's a story of a lot of ups and downs, mostly downs for a long time.
But y'all are on the uphill path right now, and have been for a long time. And short amount of time that I've known you guys, I clearly can see that. You know what I mean? This is a dynamic the two of you have together that I haven't seen.
Yeah,
with the father son,
right?
You know,
it is unique.
Yes, it's very, very unique.
It is unique.
Well, I would say, you know, I said in one of our first couple of episodes that we have earned our relationship, and I've earned the right to speak on things and to say certain things, but no one else can. Yeah. If someone else says some of the things I say, it'll earn them a nice little uppercut to the chin.
Yeah, a shiner.
And not one that comes in a can.
Yeah. No, sir. So to really get it started, we want to talk about, this is kind of a story of redemption and reconciliation, right? But it kind of just reminded me of our flagship scripture, which is Romans chapter 5, verses 3-5. And it's really about the process. And so we'll remind everybody of that real fast. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we could have picked a better verse to kind of compare this to, given the backdrop of kind of everything that we discussed last night.
You know, and that's applicable to everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that endurance, and that their life's going to have trials, and it's not a sprint.
Yeah.
It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And
I think that's where a lot of people kind of mess up. They everybody kind of comes into this like it is a sprint.
Yeah,
trying to get to the finish line right at the beginning.
Yeah.
They hear the gun go off, and they think that it's
a 5-yard dash.
Yeah, the faster you run, the faster you're going to get there, and that's not the case. Conserve your energy because the battles keep coming.
Yes. Yeah.
Truth is the faster you run, the more likely you're going to stumble.
Yeah. That's
Have you ever done that? Got running so fast you fell head over heels?
Yeah.
I've done that before. My body got out in front of my feet. Bam, face flat. Okay.
So last night, we kind of started talking about this thing, and the way we kind of separated out our story is it's kind of in three compartments, right? Yeah. It starts from basically my age of 5 to 15-ish years, and then from 15-ish years to 26, and then 26 to present day.
Yeah.
And really, it's important to know 5 to 15 to understand 15 to 26.
Yeah.
And also understand the outcome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
5 to 15 for me, I was a very angry, terrified little boy who just all he ever wanted was somebody to love him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I never felt love, and I got told a lot of things about my dad because he wasn't really in the picture. You know, we saw each other sporadically. I would say maybe if I had to count it up, it had been like every other year I got some extended time with him. Yeah. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 years in a row. Sometimes it would be not it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And there's some stories, some battle wounds in those gaps too. But you know, my dad wasn't really in a good place mentally and emotionally at that time for a lot of different reasons. Those are his things to say, not mine. But I do remember, having to be almost that calming person for both my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
At very, very young ages.
Yeah.
And the more you know about that, the more you kind of understand who I am and how I've become, gotten to where I am. It could have gone a whole nother way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were put in a position of extreme emotional reliance at a very young age.
Right.
I mean, no child really should be.
That's fair.
You know, and just for the record, you, between 5 and 15, is not very much different than me from 5 to 15 for different reasons. But not really. You were dealing with divorced parents. I was dealing with divorced parents.
Right.
But we responded to that situation in different ways. And that's part of the story and part of why each of us became who we are and ended up where we are. So
yeah, I have vivid memories. I think I told you this. I have vivid, you know, obviously you have been at certain points in your life suicidal.
Yeah.
And I haven't ever seen you do anything to yourself, but I've seen the aftermath.
Yeah.
And I remember being there at a point where you were put into a mental hospital and you wouldn't let me see you.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But hurt my heart because the only person that ever made me laugh or enjoy or feel important was this man.
I don't really remember how that came about. I don't remember. I remember them telling me that they had a rule that had something to do with no outside contact for at least the first 2 weeks. Mm. So not all of that may not have been my choice, but to some extent, no, I don't want my son to see me like this.
Well, I would say that I wasn't told this by you directly.
Right.
That was something that Granny and Papa told me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what he was saying. Yeah. Maybe they didn't want me to see you like that. I don't know. Yeah,
maybe so, too. They're very protective.
I had a very vivid image. We were talking about this yesterday in the kitchen. Like, I had a very vivid memory of a dream that I had sleeping in your bed at one time of me falling through a crack in the ground at that same hospital, right? Like, kind of wild stuff. I remember him waking me up like, it's a falling dream, you know, and I'm screaming.
Yeah, that hospitalization should have taken place long before that.
Right.
You know, and things might have been different, but maybe not. That's where I was actually first diagnosed as being bipolar and put on medication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And started having to face the fact that, and I knew for a long time, something's wrong with me.
Right.
I'm not like everybody else. A lot of that was environmental, though, and you know a little bit about it. Like I said, my parents divorced when I was 3 or 4 years old. And I was being a very sickly child for the first part of my life. Someone was always holding me, carrying me, talking to me, touching with me. And it was mostly my mother.
Right.
And when she was gone, that left a huge void in my life. And I just sucked myself into a big hole and said, y'all just
leave me alone.
I don't want to deal with you.
Interestingly enough, it was the same for me, but the opposite direction. Yeah. When my dad was taken out of my life, same thing happened. It wasn't my mom, it was my dad, because my mom wasn't that person. She wasn't that touchy-feely, lovey person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At all. I heard you're fine a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
And, you know, and I also, because of the circumstances of my weakness, I had all kinds of weird illnesses and stuff when I was really young. I had impetigo. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a skin disease thing, kind of like chicken pox. It makes you, you know, I was 3 years old. I have socks on my hands, so I can't scratch.
Yeah.
You know, had that going on. And then they found out when I went into first grade, I had cataracts and I was blind in one eye.
Yeah.
Well, that immediately drove me farther into a box because it makes me different again from other people.
Right. Right.
And I got treated in some very brutal ways sometimes because of that. You know how cruel kids can be.
Yeah.
But even as my father, too. I mean, my dad would inadvertently say, hand me that screwdriver right there. And I wouldn't find it. He said, well, what, Michael, are you blind? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Man.
You know, but I mean, sometimes it was on purpose. And he would cuss at me.
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't hit a nail straight or I couldn't do, you know. So there's, everybody has pressures like that in their life.
I think I told a bit of a story yesterday that maybe you had never heard. I don't know if I'd ever told you about that time when I was a very, very angry person at a young age. As loving and as emotionally relied upon that as I was emotionally not well either.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Right. And I said something yesterday that might have taken you by surprise about standing at the foot of my parents' bed with a butcher knife, and I literally had murder on my mind.
I had never heard that before.
I had murder on my mind.
I had never heard that.
That's kind of scary to say where somebody's going to hear it, but yeah. I didn't do anything. I woke up the next morning with that butcher knife in my hand in my own bed.
I can understand feeling that way.
Yeah.
I can understand feeling that way.
From what I gather, though, you had a horrible, horrible relational standing with your stepdad.
Yes.
I mean,
I still don't have any love or respect for you.
That dude basically hated
That's how I felt. And you know what? The sad thing is I don't know that for sure. Maybe he did care for me. I don't know.
Yeah, kids can usually pick up.
Sure didn't treat me like it.
Kids can usually pick up on if they're they're cared for. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, you can.
Yeah, for sure.
The difference with me was that for a period of time there, it was just my dad, my big brother, and me. And my big brother was school age. My dad was working.
Yeah.
So my dad had to just shuttle me off to a babysitter next door, right? She just basically threw me in the backyard with a hot dog and said, okay, your dad will be home after a while. Yeah. I spent incredible amounts of time on my own, by myself. You know, trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on. This is so different, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so, I can relate to that, too, just having so much time on my own and not having, you know, anybody that was willing to even listen to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, if I could give any parent just a little bit of advice, man, you can do what you want. Raise your children how you want. They're your kids, right?
But yes.
Remember that they're human beings, too, and they have feelings and they have things that go on inside their minds that they need help with.
This is the most critical time to be there for your kids too, because this is when you're molding them into the people that they're going to be for the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't take that for granted.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you really can't.
You gotta take into consideration what the events that they see you go through, the battles they see you go through. If they see you lose those, typically kids will lose those too.
Yeah.
You know,
right. And look, I'm not saying, look, perfection is not possible. You're not going to be a perfect parent. You're not going to be a perfect person, period. So like mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
But listen, it's no different than dealing with a human being as an adult, right? James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah.
You got to treat your kids that way too, man. Yeah. You have to. They are human beings. Now, don't get me wrong. They need to understand things, and you need to be able to guide them that, hey, look, no, that's not a right thought. You need to get rid of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, hey, look, I said a lot
of
things.
That ain't going to work around this house. You know?
Yeah, right, that too, right? Yeah. But at the same time, man, I tried to share my feelings, right? I tried to say this is how I feel, and I would get shunned, you know? Oh, you're just too sensitive.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I am the way I am now. I'm telling you. Yeah. If you really, really examine this thing under a microscope, because I was taught not to feel feelings. Yeah. I was taught not to share feelings. I was taught you choke that shit down, excuse my language, and you turn that into a cancer, and you go ahead and just die from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let it poison you from the inside out.
Yeah, and that's, you know, like you were saying, up until about the time you're 5 years old, that first 5 years is when most of your personality is formed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was excruciatingly withdrawn. I wouldn't let anybody in. I didn't want anybody in.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, or they're going to leave me.
That too.
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
You know, so that part of my personality was already taking place.
Yeah.
I didn't get angry until the world around me kind of turned angry when I started getting into puberty and
other people started
acting out because of my disabilities, mental or physical or whatever. And you know, just there was a whole lot of stuff that went on in those years between 5 and 15 that were not good.
I would tell you that situation with the knife situation or whatever, that happened after the age of 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From 5 to 10, 11, 12, I was very, very passive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And afraid of the world and afraid of people and afraid to get hurt and all that stuff. And at some point, a little bit of a fire got lit.
Yeah.
Now, again, I didn't do what I was thinking about doing, which is the only thing that separates you from being a murderer.
Yeah.
And that's by the grace of God. I don't know. Again, I told you yesterday, like, I had full intent to just end this thing.
Let me ask you this. You know, sometimes as a kid, when you are so emotionally distraught and you're going through certain things, you can imagine yourself being at that position.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you weren't there.
Sure.
But you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, I've been at that place as a kid where I've been so emotionally distraught over something happening that I feel like I'm at this point and, you know, haven't got there.
Clearly, I couldn't give you a yes or no to
at
that.
At this point, no. It's but what been I could, forever ago.
What I could tell you is I remember the night.
Yeah.
I remember what happened. I remember everything leading up to that moment.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes dark.
Yeah.
Right? So is there some stuff that could have been fabricated in my mind? Possibly, sure. Yeah. It's possible because the mind is very powerful.
Because, I mean, I have some of those with my stepdad. Like, I have some of those moments with my stepdad that I don't know if they're real. I don't know if I really went through that with him or if it was just me being it. Because he was the type that wanted to beat on folks. You know what I mean? He didn't kill you with his words. He's gonna punch you in the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got a little bit of both.
So there, I had some traumatic events that I can't tell you if I was in there or I wasn't. You know,
I would tell you. I could tell you the whole story. I know this is probably harder to listen to, but I was unhappy anyway for a lot of other reasons, and I was never not in trouble. I was never not doing something wrong, you know, and hated life in general. And my parents' room was on the opposite wall of me in my bedroom, right? And I could hear a fight, and I hear a lot of noise and bangs, and I heard a few smacks. And I walked into the kitchen while it's happening. And I grabbed a knife, and I went back to my room, and I waited. I was going to wait until it got quiet because I knew what was happening. They're both inebriated.
Yeah.
At some point, they're both going to pass out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go finish this. Yeah. You know what I mean? For one, I have vivid memories of watching my mom get belt whipped by a dude at 5, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uncalled for, unnecessary for any man to do, unnecessary for any woman to accept. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
I wasn't gonna hurt my mom. All,
everything you're saying to me right now,
I know you do.
Is my childhood.
Yeah, I know. I know, right?
It's a, it's a sad thing to think. And my mom is one of the strongest people I know.
Right.
I mean, she holds, I don't know how many records in powerlifting, and she's 60, almost 66 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's still at it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And
she was taking whippings from a dude.
But they were, let me just tell you this. When they fought, it was like watching two grown men fight.
Right.
That's not funny. He might get her this time, but she gonna get him next time.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched her. We had a cast iron skillet that sat on our stove that had two pigs touching bellies. Two naked pigs touching bellies, and it said making bacon.
Yeah.
Okay. And she come out of the bathroom bloody as all get out, ran into the kitchen, and he come out after her, and all I heard was ka-tink. That's it. He laying on his back.
Yeah. There was no reverberation. There was no,
it was like the perfect sound, just the tink, you know, and that was it. That was
like, like a baseball hit aluminum bat.
Yeah, and it was what the crazy part about it was, because I had opened my door and my mom was standing there, face bloody.
Yeah.
He had got her face. He was smashing her face into the mirror.
Yeah,
she got out, and I believe at this time one of her friends lived with us.
Yeah,
but she got out somehow. She's like, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm freaking out. Because
you're like, oh, no, it's not okay.
It's bad. All you can see is red all over, like blood all over her face. She goes through the living room, rounds into the kitchen, and as he's coming in behind her, as he goes into the kitchen, you see him fall backwards.
Yeah, just
timber. Yeah, like the dude, like she hit him hard enough, she stopped his forward momentum.
Right, right.
And that's one of those key moments in my life where it's kind of like,
that's a visualization that doesn't go away.
Yeah. Cast iron don't give, man.
No.
It don't give.
No. There's a reason why when you watch Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry, when they hit that iron skillet, they become the shape.
Yeah.
But anyway, to get to the story, right, that's not all story. Yeah, but you got to understand some context, right? So there were things that were done to me in ways that it was like they were trying to make me hate this man. Okay.
That's how I felt.
It's how I felt. They did everything they could. My mom, all of her family, everybody just wants me to hate this man as bad as they do. And I had no reason to, right? Like I had no interaction. He never touched me in the wrong way. He didn't yell at me. The one time he did yell at me, I thought I was going to die because I was like, it broke my freaking heart. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure he remembers this too. Yeah, I was being annoying because he was talking to Shanna. I'm pretty sure it was. And I was trying to get his attention, I'm not used to not getting it. You know what I mean? He didn't even yell. It was just like, John, hold on. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, lost my shit, and I'm sure I lost my stuff, and I'm sure. And there was, as being a father, it's now, and having dealt with stuff like that now, I'm like, I gotta go. I'm sorry. He's a pain in the butt. I don't know what to tell you. You know, whatever.
Yep, I gotta go home. And Dad was just trying to get laid, but you know. But you know, you can't do that with the kid there. You know, and But hey, you know, there's a reason they call little kids and dogs chick magnets, right? I mean, okay, yeah. But I mean,
oh my God, for me,
there was a point in time when things should have and could have gone forward differently for me.
Right.
When I was very young, okay? I told you the other night when we were talking about how Dad met my stepmom and their history and how they ended up getting married. He had two kids. She had three kids. It was just, when they got married, you know, I went up to my stepmom, my new stepmom, who I'd seen probably exactly twice in my life, and wrapped my arms around her leg and was just ecstatic. Now we got a mom.
Yeah.
I was happy. You know, things could have been really good from then on for me.
Yeah.
But influences and evidence, I mean, events outside of that family, that could have been so supportive and happy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Started turning me in different directions, and I started behaving in ways that were not conducive to my family relationship, and things got really ugly, you know. Yeah. And I did, I mean, people started picking on me and bullying me and teasing me, and, you know, I told a kid one, because he was asking how come my eye kept closing. Like, kids asked me all the time, why is your eye closed? Well, it just does what it wants. I can't see out of that one anyway, so I don't worry about it. But this kid asked me, and I told him, well, I have a cataract. He said, oh, a Cadillac? Why don't you just take it out and drive it? I'm like, well, you know, and stuff like that all the damn time.
Yeah.
And that particular thing, that one thing, contributed to my mental state being worse than what it should have been, and probably increased my mental illness, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was not allowed to participate in organized sports as a boy because I had a cataract.
From a sports-loving man, too.
I had a cataract in this eye, too, but it stopped growing.
Yeah.
They were afraid I would get hit by a bat or a ball or a basketball or something, and it would make that cataract shift, and I'd be totally blind. And they couldn't operate on them because of where they had, how they'd grown. So I was sidelined. Now, I would sneak around and play Sandlot and play, you know, and do all that stuff anyway. But it made all the male peers I had pick on me and ignore me. And I hung out with the girls, which I didn't know how good I had it at the time.
Yeah.
But
as a prepubescent child,
yes.
as a male, that's not a good thing for you, because that sends the wrong message to your age group of peers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's where my anger as a teenager and a young adult stemmed from. I ran away from home twice.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just going from there. What I went through was different from what you went through, but they're similar.
It's very similar, yeah. I can hear mirrors.
And it's amazing to me now how similar our paths have been.
Yeah.
And how similar you and I are.
Yeah.
Mentally, emotionally, psychologically.
Yeah.
You know, I was emotionally closed off.
Yeah.
Right? Seriously closed off. And clueless about what it was supposed to be like to be emotionally close to anyone.
Yeah.
Now, my dad was a military guy. If he wasn't working, he was drinking.
Yep.
Okay? My stepmom did the best she could, and she loved me to death, and I tormented that woman almost into her grave, you know?
Yeah.
And she didn't deserve that. And it was way later in my life that I was actually able to fix that.
Yeah.
And resolve a lot of it and bond with her and tell her I loved her. And,
yeah.
But she and the kids, my brothers and sister would tell me, that's your mom.
Yeah.
That's your mom. No, that's not my mom.
Yeah.
My mom left.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my mom. When I was 5, I didn't think that way. But when I got 14, 15, for some reason, all of a sudden, I do.
Yeah.
You know? So a lot of... Go ahead.
Nope.
A lot of stuff going on.
I'm sorry.
No. Which one of y'all, both of you?
I know Jason's got something to say, so go ahead and finish your thought.
Go ahead.
I think that's a lot of what happens with teenagers, regardless.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Once the hormones start kicking in, it totally changes a kid.
Yeah.
And for you, I think, you know, the trauma of all that stuff happening and then, you know, having to deal with the fact that that wasn't your mom.
Yeah.
Is, as a teenager, I can see how that could be because
to me, like, I understand that you were excited and you were like, now I got a mom and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thought that your mom left you was still there.
Yeah.
That lack of trust.
Yep.
And I have separation anxiety to this day.
Me too.
I swear to God, I do. And that was what...
That's why it's hard for me to get close to people.
That's what
tainted... Your circle is super small.
That's what tainted all of my male-female relationships later in life.
Yeah.
And for the most part, made them unsuccessful because I would either get to a certain point and then push them away because I was afraid to trust them.
Yeah.
Or I would get so attached I couldn't let them go.
Yeah.
I could, even if it was toxic, it's all get out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just something that was,
you know, I just couldn't let go. I can't live without them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many changes in people's lives that you have to go through. You don't know it then. I wouldn't have accepted it then. I wasn't that exposed to the Bible. I mean, yeah, my grandma used to take me when I was 5 years old, First Baptist Church in Rusk, Texas.
And that's a whole different environment and, than what we're used to in these days.
Oh, yeah, you know absolutely. I mean? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, I mean, I knew what the Bible was, and I knew who Jesus was, but I had no faith. I had no connection. I didn't even pray. The only prayer I knew was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Yeah.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord to save my soul to take, bless mom, dad, kid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's it. But there was nothing religious or faith-driven about that.
Yeah.
It was just something I was taught. I had no idea what it meant.
Yeah.
So I certainly had no idea that God was somehow in all of this turmoil and torment and sorrow and tragedy touching and guiding my life.
Right.
You know?
So, I have another little story that's kind of in the middle of this point, right? The 5 to 15 era.
Yeah.
You had said something yesterday while we were talking on the phone. We live together. He lives in the same house I do, but I still call him every day on my way home from work
for lunch and
for dinner.
And at lunch.
And we talk, right? And we were talking about, you know, this and some of the stuff, and all the stuff starts coming out, and he said something to me that I had never heard him say before. Now, we have always understood these things, and I hold nothing against him. He owes me nothing. Yeah. You can't repay me. There's nothing to repay, right? Yeah. Of course, I know as a father, I know exactly how he feels, that, like, you feel like you have to do something different or have to repay. But he said something I hadn't heard him say before, and it was, I shouldn't have allowed my pain to keep me from being with you, right?
Yeah.
My weakness hurt you, right? And he didn't say it exactly like that, but that's the feeling.
Yeah.
And I never heard him actually say it that way.
Yeah.
But at one time, this was one of the things that broke my heart, right? And it wasn't an interaction with him at all. Every time I got the chance to see my dad, I was excited. I was like, yes. Get to get out of this hell, and I get to go be around somebody, if only for a little while, who actually wants me to be there, is excited to see me, makes me laugh.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And my mom's excuse always was, he's not paying child support, which is a lie.
It's a shit. That's a shit excuse, anyways. It's sorry. Sorry.
Fair.
It is. That is. Fair. That's a terrible excuse.
So I remember I had to have been 12-ish.
We're gonna have to change
I'm gonna have to say it's explicit.
This one isn't gonna get released.
You need one of those beep things. So you can just go doot when you're gonna say a curse word. Just go doot.
I'm sure there is one, but I don't know how to use it yet. anyway,
go ahead.
I'm roughly 12-ish, and my dad sent a plane ticket, so I know what that means. You know what I'm saying? I flew by myself at like 7 years old. I'd flown by myself multiple times, and so I knew what this meant.
And knowing is how afraid you are of airplanes now, I'm amazed that you were ever able to do that.
You're afraid of airplanes.
I'm not really afraid of airplanes. I just don't like it. I'm not comfortable in the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the only way I want
to
travel.
Get him to tell you about our flight from Denver to Germany sometime. 10 hours on an airplane, 40,000 feet up in the air.
Pretty much. The good news, by the time we were coming back, though, I was so relaxed. I'm like,
it was good. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So did you fly first class?
Heck no. We couldn't afford that.
So let me ask you this. On those planes, that kind of trip, that long, is it like flying in a Southwest plane?
It's massive.
So you have more room.
Not really.
This is a huge incline. I mean, like
a little bit.
It's a little bit better than flying on.
This is a gigantic Lufthansa. You should see the picture of he has at the airport of him standing in front of the window with that plane parked outside.
It was ridiculous.
He's like this tall to the nose of that airplane. It's massive. It held 385 people.
It's a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you know, I think we'll get to that story.
Yeah.
But this plane ticket, my mom, she pin board. We had a pin board, you know, the cork.
Yeah.
That she pinned it to. So now it's torture because I could see it every day. She said, if your dad pays him child support, you can go. I watched the date on that plane ticket come and go. And she left it up there after the date had expired for quite a while. I didn't get to go. And it, no shit, it affected me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
And then on some level, you know, I've heard him tell me that he didn't know I wasn't even on the plane.
I went to the airport to pick him up, and he didn't get off the plane. And I was frantic. But I asked the stewardess, you know, hey, is Jonathan Traylor on that plane? He was supposed to be here. She looked at the passenger manifest and, no, he's not there.
Yeah.
So immediately I went, and this is like midnight something, 1 o'clock in the morning, I went and called her on the phone. She said, no, I told you, unless you pay me more child support, he's not coming. It wasn't that I wasn't paying any. She wanted more than what I was paying. But
that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, and it's, we need to just leave that right where it's at.
I know.
So,
but I get it. It's real easy to get.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking to me, and it can only be more heartbreaking to him. And in the moment to what he's addressing, at the time, he was born in 1980. I left here in 1982 or three, right? It was my choice, my fault. My weakness, because I could not live in the same city with the woman I loved dating other guys and seeing other guys. I don't want to be around that. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see some guy calling my kid son or my son calling somebody dad.
Like I would ever accept that.
No, but that's just how
that's fragile where your mind goes. That's where your mind I was. Goes. That's human nature.
And
that's where
I
your mind
ran
is go.
Like a chicken. Beep. I ran
to
get away from that pain and abandoned him in the process, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I just didn't think about him first. I should have.
Yeah.
But I was so broken and so weak and so torn. To be quite honest with you, I was afraid I would kill her if I stayed.
Well.
You know, I was. Yeah. And I remember I took him and Travis one night before I left town.
He doesn't know Travis. Travis is my older brother.
I know. I'm familiar.
Okay, he was my stepson.
Yeah.
When me and his mom got married, Travis was 3 years old.
Yeah.
He was my buddy. We were just really good buddies for a while. But anyway, I took them to a motel while she was at work one night and let her just come home and find out her kids are gone.
Yeah.
And I waited till like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I called her. Where's my kids? Where's my kids? What'd you do with my kids? How does it feel?
Yeah.
How does this feel to you? You think about it. I'm going to have to go what you're going through right now for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Or at least the next 13 or 14 years till he gets old enough he decides he wants to come live with me.
Yeah.
You know? You think about what you're doing. Still at the dead last of it, trying to get her to change her mind. And it didn't work.
I remember having conversations with my dad at 8-ish years old about how much he still loved my mom, and just wanted to come home, wanted to be there, all those kinds of things. I watched this man break down. You know what I'm saying? He told me this story about me being 8 years old, and he's just crying in the middle of his bedroom at his parents' house, and I just put my arm around him and tell him, it's okay, Dad. It's going to be all right.
8 years old, dude.
Yeah.
8 years old.
Yeah.
Like, my God, what this kid had to go through. And a lot of because of me. And I did have, to his point, a real difficult time to forgiving myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of that. And if I didn't have the relationship I have with him now, I still wouldn't have forgiven myself.
Yeah.
And that's basically what all of this story is about, is redemption and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And growing past things. If you don't talk to someone, you can't know that person.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can't judge them just by hearing what they've gone through and making assumptions about what it felt like. You got to talk to them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's, we've spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
I'll give you a real fast comparison. This actually happened. It's not a joke. But I can quickly tell a very quick story that will tell you the difference between my mother and my father. Okay. As an adult, I now have three sons. I'm a single father. They are both living in my our apartment, because when I got divorced, me and him shacked up in an apartment together. Eventually, she gave me custody of the boys. I am now a single father with my dad and three boys in a two-bedroom apartment. It was not a comfortable situation.
Yeah. No.
My mom has always been my mom, and she was struggling. And she asked if she could come stay with us. And I said, you got to talk to my dad, because I am not prepared for this at all. Yeah. This was not a comfortable situation for me. But praise God, we both made the best of it. My mom even made the best of it. She did a good job. Some things happened. There was some healing that actually ended up happening.
It ended up being a good thing. But do you know how badly I wanted to say, boop, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay you back.
Yeah.
For all that horrendous stuff you did to my kid and to me.
So
no one wins in that situation.
No,
no one wins.
No.
But
no
he was he was a different person by this point and was able to do it, right?
Yeah.
Plus, he still loved her. He did until the end, right?
I told her while she was there that if she wanted me to, I would remarry her to get her on my insurance so she could have health care.
Yeah.
She turned it down because her family would not accept that.
Bro, you're starting to learn a lot about me today.
I thought I knew a lot.
It's a deep, deep.
But here's the thing. Here's the story that will tell you the difference between my mother and my father. As an adult, I'm a single dad. I'm going to college online, trying to do something different because I had no prospects when I got divorced. And I took them both. I took a moment to tell both of them, like, hey, I just want you to know, that everything that's happened throughout my life, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I said that individually to my dad and to my mom. My dad's response was exactly as you would expect. Gracious, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. I love you. You know, probably some tears involved. Mm. My mom's response, however, is not the same. This is her response.
What do you need to forgive me for?
She said, for what? For what?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Nothing. I'm just letting you know, Mom.
I feel so bad for her. That just hurts my freaking heart. You know, it just hurts my heart. That you'd have to understand how different that person sounds than the person she was when I married her. In the first few years that we were together.
How long were y'all married?
6 years. Well, we were together 6 years, I think, married. We got married in 76, and I left in 82, so somewhere like that. Yeah. But, she was not always the beast that she became.
Yeah.
She wasn't. And there are good moments. Look, this sounds like a trash fest, okay? I want everybody to understand, like,
I'm terms of endearment.
I'm not trashing my mom, okay? Like, she did the best she could do. I fully believe that. She did the best she could do. I love my mom. But in order to understand, you have to know the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How did she pass away?
Stomach issues.
Lots of this and lots of pills.
Yeah.
She had an intestinal infection that her body couldn't fight because her liver was damaged beyond repair. From a lot of substance.
Yeah.
And I have a moment with her. She died 5 days after her 56th birthday.
Yes.
In 2012. She was in the hospital on her birthday. And she was still coherent. She was still awake at this point. She couldn't talk because she had a tube down her throat. But I went to visit her after work. And just, I love you, whatever, whatever. Just happy birthday. You know, yeah. It kind of sounds shameful at this point, but she is not comfortable. She had been in pain for a long time with this problem, and they couldn't figure out what the heck was going on with her. But I had a moment with her that it's etched in my memory forever. It'll never go away. And she looks at me in my eyes, and she can't talk to me, but she tries to mouth to me, I love you. And I said, I love you too, Mom. And then she said, I'm sorry. And I said, you can go. It's okay. Yeah. I love you. She died 5 days later. 5 or 6 days later, one or the other. Yeah. But that moment, I got to see her soul again.
Yeah.
Because I think she knew that she wasn't coming home at that point. And again, I've talked about it before, man. I got to pray the prayer with her. I got to pray with her. I got to remind her what her God did for her, man. And I don't know what was going on inside of her heart, but I really do believe that she committed to him. And I think God did her a mercy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And allowed her to meet her end. And I know this is hard to hear for people, and it's hard to talk about. It's getting a little dusty in here. But it's the facts, man. And I cherish that moment, okay? I still have memories, good memories of my mom and things about the holidays and things like that. They're really hard for me to deal with when those seasons come again that are very good things. But the truth is, she made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Just
like he did.
People can know a little of the good side of her. She was not, you know, she was newly divorced or getting divorced or whatever and had a 3-year-old son. But that woman loved to dance and she loved the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yes, she did.
You know, and we had a great time. We would every weekend, Saturday night, we danced until the bars closed. Yeah. You know, all the time. She was fun-loving and happy and good to be around. And Sunday, there was no place else she was going to be except in front of a TV with the Cowboys on it.
Yeah. That's right.
You know?
She was that's where I got my fandom, and you can't take it from me, no matter
that
what.
That woman is who I've always loved and still love to this day, you know? But she changed, just like I changed from who I was at the moment that I hugged my stepmom's legs to who I became later on as a young teenager and a growing adult, a young adult. You change. Life changes you. Your own decisions put you in places that change you.
Yeah.
You change to protect yourself. You develop defense mechanisms to protect yourself. We're all just trying to avoid getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just trying to avoid the pain.
Yeah.
You know, and this is maudlin as heck. I apologize but I'm not scared of dying.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of death. I'm not scared of what happens after death. I'm scared of the pain it's going to take to get there.
Very interesting you say
to
that.
This day.
It's very interesting that you say that because I'm the exact same way.
Yeah.
My biggest fear is how I'm going to go.
Yeah.
My biggest fear is not going. I'm comfortable with going.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with what's coming after. I'm comfortable with all that.
Yeah.
The thing with me is I want it to be short and sweet.
I don't want to have to know it's coming. Yeah.
Over with.
Yeah.
Over with.
I don't want to drown. So. I don't want to burn. Yeah. I don't want to die slowly.
Yeah,
cancer.
None of those things.
And you know, unfortunately,
quick little car wreck, take me out. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? But
unfortunately, none of us have a choice in that. We don't know how it's going to come. Yeah. I don't want to know. If somebody asked me right now, you want to know how you're going to die and when it's going to happen? Nope.
I don't want to know.
Nope. Turn around, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want to know nothing you got. Thank you very much. So anyway, yeah.
So to finish off the era of 5 to 15. To get to the next level, the last little story to kind of carry us into what happens next. It was the summer of my freshman year of high school. I actually got to go visit my dad. I'm roughly 15-ish years old. 14-ish, 15-ish. I don't remember exactly, but it's somewhere in that range. It had to be 15. But anyway, I...
Wait, you graduated in 98?
I would have graduated in 98. I didn't graduate.
You were 14. We're the same age.
We are the same age. I'm in April, though, and you're in August. Yeah, so school years might have been a little different.
I graduated 17, and I graduated in May.
Okay.
So you would have been 14.
So what happened that summer was fun and great, and I got to spend a lot of time with my dad and his wife, who didn't like me because I was a piece of
yeah.
I was an ass.
She was a poor judge of character. She wouldn't have been with me in the first place.
I think it's the opposite way around. I think you were the poor judge of character.
Plead the fifth, man.
But it was awesome. But I was done at this point, man. I was done. I had had murderous feelings. I had suicidal thoughts. I was fully diving into all substance and was being given this by my mother, and she was fully okay with it. Yeah. But I was done with it. I didn't want to do this anymore. And so I spent that summer with him, and we talked, and I told him how I felt. I told him what was going on. I told him the anger that I had, the hatred that I had, and all I wanted was to be with you. And he said, okay. You got to do it. You got to go tell her because I can't. She ain't going to listen to me no way. So, of course, I was scared. Didn't want to do it. But when all hell breaks loose, emotions run hot, your tongue gets real loose, and I laid it out, all of it, to her. And so she said, fine, call him right now. I don't know the backside of this story.
I'll tell you in a minute. My dad will explain it. I'll tell you in a minute.
So I made the phone call, and he answered the phone. And I said, I'm ready. And he said, I don't think it's a good idea. And at that point, you might as well have just shoved me off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because that's where I went.
He screamed at me, do you know how bad I want to be with you? And my heart was in a million freaking pieces. And my only redemption in that is, I mean, there's been a lot of times I wish I'd made the other decision.
Yeah.
And I let her sway me because she called me without him knowing it and told me, John's going to ask you if he can come live with you, and I want you to tell him no.
Yeah.
And I had no reason to be loyal to her or to do anything that she wanted me to do for any reason.
Yeah.
I had talked to my dad, and he'd already said it was okay as long as John behaved himself, because my dad was not in great health.
There's a fair chance that I wasn't going to behave myself. But
and I lived in what was becoming a very bad part of Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And to put it nicely, white people were becoming hugely outnumbered, and that was that high school where he was going to have to go living with me and my dad was not a place for an angry young white boy.
Yeah.
He would have died or gone to prison or something. So, but I regretted that decision for a long time because it hurt him so badly.
Yeah.
Now I can look back on it and justify it by the fact that if I had not made that decision, you would not have met Crystal. You would not have had my three grandkids, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Your life would not have been for what it is now. So I have to reconcile my sorrow at that event by believing that that's the way God wanted it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a good time to remember Romans 8:28, which I just randomly jumped to just now, that God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? And the thing about it is we don't always understand what's happening. You know what I'm saying? I certainly didn't understand most of what was going on.
I didn't ask God before I made that decision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he knew.
Right.
He must have known that I would have made that's the choice I was going to make. And he, you know, he knew how I still felt about your mother, and I would still crawl through a field of burning glass to do anything, to do something to please her.
Yeah.
So I did what she wanted me to do.
Yeah.
After the fact, I felt like I made the wrong decision. I did the wrong thing because it hurt you so very badly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it took you to get over that. I wouldn't have blamed you if you hate me for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Yeah. Well, and it came there. It came close.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. How could I have been so stupid and so blind to put your mother at that point in our life ahead of you?
Sure.
You know, that's, yeah.
That's all part of the process, though. I mean, look, in all honesty, yeah, I think you nailed it when you said, looking back now, it is kind of justifiable because it does. You do have three boys from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
me and you probably wouldn't know each other if you went to live down there.
Most likely,
nope.
Not.
There's a good chance that y'all never would have came back here.
Yeah,
not likely.
And this what we have going on right now wouldn't be happening.
There's a purpose for your pain.
Everything.
When his mom moved, she went all the way to North Carolina. I just went to Fort Worth. You know, but.
Well, so we talked about this potentially being split, and I think now's a good time to lay it down and pick back up. I just want to thank everybody for listening. We are going to reconvene, and this will be a two-part episode.
Yes.
At least
it might end up being three. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we got halfway through.
We did. About 5 to 15, 10 years.
Yeah, we got through 10 years.
But that was, I think that kind of was the goal to begin with. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can see it being three. It depends how much time we spend on 15 to 26.
Yeah.
Because 26 to now is the glory of it all.
That is right.
And it deserves a lot of attention. It's really the focus of the whole thing.
It really is.
And what we have to offer to people listening about the hope that they can have for things they can accomplish in their own walk with each other and with Christ and God. So that's the part I want to focus on the most.
Yeah, I think we can do that. I think we can accomplish that.
Yeah.
So from John,
Jason,
and Mike,
thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.